When you work, wherever you work, there are benefits. I know people have 401ks and others have health benefits and others, production is up, they give you $25 of gift cards. And there's so many things that goes on in our workplaces. And in the kingdom of God, that is what God does. He is our God and we are his people. And what he does is that he loads us. The Bible says he loads us every day with benefits. Every day. Did not say some days. He says every day he loads us with benefits. And 4,000 years ago, there is this man that came in contact with God, had a covenant with God, and God changed everything about him, even to his descendants. And that today we are also a part of that covenant and that blessings. So I want to talk a little bit about the benefit of God's covenant with us. Because we also, if we're covenanted with him, if we're in agreement with him, I tell you honestly, we are a blessed people. I'm going to read our first scripture from Genesis 17, verse 1 to 7. And I'll read from the New King James Version. And it says this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. It did not say, walk before me and be pure. Walk before me and be without sin or without any. He said, just be blameless. Don't let anybody have anything against you. If there's anything that's going to be against you, let it come from me. So he was trying to tell Abraham, look, don't walk by your might nor by your power. Don't try to do things yourself. Rely on me. And then says, walk before me. What he wanted to say, it's not just walking in front of God. No, when you walk in front of God, you go ahead of him. It's not walking by the side, but it's walking for what God wanted Abraham to do was, Abraham, if you're walking, I want to see you. I want you to be in my presence every day. The word Eden means the presence of God. That's where God put Adam and Eve. So God wants us to be in his presence every day. Now, in his presence, we will make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, he's saying, look, don't be blameless. Look, don't let people talk about it. You have to justify yourself before me. You tell me that, look, Lord, I have blown it again. I have missed it again. I've made a mistake. He wants us to walk in his presence and not to hide from him. Many a times when people fall, and we will all fall, we will all fail. But when people fall and fail, they run away from church. They run away from God. No, God wants us to run back to him. There is no place you can go that he will not see you. There is no place you can run to that God will not see you. So it says, walk before me and be blameless. It says, I will make my covenant between me and you. This is God saying. God says, I will make my covenant. I'm not asking you to make a covenant. It says, I, the Lord, will make a covenant between me and you. It says, and I will multiply you exceedingly. He's talking about the benefits of that covenant. It says, Abraham fell on his face, and the Lord talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, the word behold means stop, look, consider. See, when you're reading the Bible, you find the word behold. Bible wants you to stop and look at what it said before and what it's going to say to you. So he told Abraham, look, I'm going to reward you exceedingly. I'm going to be your God. And Abraham fell on his face, worshiped God, and he says, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant. It didn't say for a period of time, it says for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. This is a huge promise. God promised Abraham, says, look, I'll multiply you. I will make you great. I'll make your descendants be more. And then he says, I'm going to change your name for a purpose. We're talking about purposes. We are made for a purpose. With a purpose. That's what God means. So for his purpose, God says, I'm going to change your name. Not only you, look, your wife Sarah is going to give birth at when she's 90 years. But at that time, it is part of what I have designed you to have. So he says, look, and you, Abraham, I'm going to change your name. Not only you, but I'm going to change your wife's name. Abraham, your name is Abraham. I'm going to change it to Abraham, which is a high father. So you're not just going to be Abraham. And God says, I'm going to add Ham into it. And it comes from the word Yahweh. We're not talking about that today. But God breathed into Abraham and made him alive in everything that he wanted him to be. So God says, your name is going to be Abraham. You're going to be a high father. And for Sarai, so I'm going to change her name. Sarai means my princess. God says, no, it's not going to be my princess. It's going to be princess. Because mine means it's just for me. You know how we call our little girls at home and say, so my daughter, my princess. And when you say that, it's only yours. My son, it is just you. But when you say a son, it means you've given that person to the whole world. So God says, look, Sarah, you're not just going to be Sarah. You're going to be Sarah. He breathed again the H, which is coming out of Yahweh, into her. And says, look, you're going to be fruitful. I'm making you a new person. And says that your name will be princess, so that the whole world will see how great you are. That was a promise that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two people. Normally, it is sealed with blood. In the Old Testament time, that is what it was. And when you stay in covenant, there are a lot of benefits you get. So benefits, the covenants are rewarding. When you break covenants, look, it's misfortune, it can be death, there can be so many things that comes out of it. The Encyclopedia Judaica says this: it's a general obligation concerning two parties. It is confirmed either by an oath, by a solemn meal, by sacrifice, or by some other dramatic act such as dividing of an animal and the passing of the parties between the portions. So it talks about a covenant. It's an agreement between two parties. Normally, it is for a stronger person and a weaker one. We are human, so we are weaker. So God comes in and says, look, I am strong and I'm going to make a covenant with you. You're going to stay with me. You're going to be with me, and I will be your God. So covenants are guaranteed. Now, in the Bible somewhere, Abraham's grandson, who is Joseph, shows up. Now, Joseph was taken to Egypt, got to Egypt. And for a very long period of time, he celebrated Egypt. He was rich. He had everything he needed. But there came also a time that the king Pharaoh died, and another king came in. The Bible says that king never knew him. Let's read from Exodus 2:23. I'm trying to establish something here. Exodus 2:23-25 says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. When the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. This is what I want you to get here. The Bible says that the cry of the people, when they lived in Egypt for a very long time, they became slaves to the Egyptian masters. And the Bible says their groaning went up to God. Look, these are people, at some point they had even forgotten who, they knew the name of God, but they were not doing the things that God wanted them to do. They knew the name of God, but they did not even fellowship and worship God. But at some point, Bible says, God, when they cried, God remembered them. God heard their cry because of a covenant he made with Abraham. Passed that covenant over to Isaac, and that covenant also came to Jacob. And now Joseph and his people are also benefiting from the same covenant, even when God did not make it directly with them. So you see, in our cry, see, in your Egypt, if you will groan and ask God, and I know some of us were praying and asking God, what am I going through? This is so difficult to go through. Look, I want you to understand, if you understand your covenant, your agreement with God, if you understand what you are signing with God, if you understand who God is and you coming in contact with him and standing with him, I tell you, in your Egypt when you groan, He will hear you. In your sickness, when you understand that I have a covenant with God, it is not by what I do, it is not by what I say, it is not by what I give, it is not anything about me, but it's just standing in the covenant that God did between Abraham. Then if I'm part of it, then I can also receive every blessing that God has for me. Hallelujah. So God has set that covenant relationship for us. He's blessed us, and we are part of it because of Abraham. In Genesis 17:9-11, it says this. And God said to Abraham, as for me, as for you, you shall keep my commandment, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, your descendants after you. It says every male child, because at this point, look, God is asking Abraham, look, Abraham, for you to stay in my covenant and to keep it. In that time, covenant, we said a covenant is sealed with blood. It says for you to understand the covenant in which you are walking, for you to know that of the truth, Lord, we are in agreement. Look, as for me, God, I will do my part. But for you, Abraham, I'm not sure, but I want you to do this. So this is what God tells him to do. Sacred. It says that every male child among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Bible says that Abraham had this commandment. He went ahead and just did as God said because he wanted to keep what God was saying to him. It was painful. Some of them were about 50 and 40 and 60. Oh, that was a painful circumcision they had to go through. But to fulfill the covenant, they had to obey to do that. 600 years later, David comes in. And then David, at some point, his father sends him to go to the battlefield and visit with his brothers to see what is happening. And then he goes there, and here comes Goliath, this huge giant. Comes out and taunts the people of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. These people were just hiding from Goliath. The king was in his palace. He was not coming to war. Those days, kings go to war. But Saul himself was afraid of Goliath. So he was hiding in his palace, saying that, hey, you guys go fight. But when David got there, David realized that, no, I have a covenant. And it's only the people who have covenants that God hears them and does things for them. That's how he believed it. So this is what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 26. And David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man who killed this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? 600 years has passed when this was done. 6,000 years. It's passed. 600, sorry. It's passed. And then he comes back to it and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who should defile the armies of God? See, what David was inferring to is that, see, Goliath was a Philistine. He had no covenant with God. So he has no business showing up on the battlefield. Those who show up on battlefield and lose are Philistines. He says that we are Israelites. Look, if all of you have forgotten about it, let me remind you that there is a covenant that we have made. The covenant was made between God and the people of Israel and our father Abraham. And he said that he will multiply us, he will protect us, he will deliver us, he will do us all this good. Why are you guys afraid? Based on the covenant, he says that, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Because for them, they were circumcised, so they were in covenant. So with that word and with that knowing, he killed Goliath. And that's what he did. He killed Goliath. Took Goliath's head and walked to Saul's home to show him, look, I have killed him. How did I kill Goliath? I'm sure because before that, he had gone to Saul's home and told Saul, look, I am able to kill this guy. And Saul says, try my armor. He says, no. He tried it. He says, this one does not work. But I'm able to kill with a sling and a sword. He says, look, I killed the bear and I killed the lion. Do you know how he killed them? They were all uncircumcised. Anything that is uncircumcised cannot stand before you if you are in covenant with God. So whoever is taunting you in your home, whoever is disturbing your job, whoever is disturbing your health, whoever is disturbing your education, I have come to announce to you, go, that look, you have a covenant with God. And if you can stand on your covenant rights, which has been given to you, not by works, not by anything you did, then of course you are a winner. The season might not be yet, but I tell you, you are coming out of that situation. You are coming out of that challenge. That pain is going to go. That man who is not listening will listen. That woman that is not listening will listen. That job they want to take from you, I want to tell you, look, if it is your job, you are going to possess it. If it is not your job, God will let it go, because there is no uncircumcised Philistine that can stand you, because you are born of God. You did not fight. You did not go on the cross. Jesus went on the cross for you. I know some of us are saying, but I'm not an Israelite. How do I become part of the covenant? This is what Paul says to us who are not born Jews. In Ephesians 2:11-12, he says this. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. It's for us, we used to be outsiders. We used not to be part of the covenant because we were not of the of the lineage of Abraham. We were not born to the lineage of Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But it says this. It says, we were outsiders. We were called uncircumcised heathens. It says, by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. So their circumcision was of their bodies. They look at it. There was a time that Elijah had to pray, because there was no rain. And God has told him, look, for 2 years, there's 2.5 years, there's no rain. So look. And then he got to a point and said, God says, look, there's going to be rain. He sent his guy to go look. The guy was looking. The Bible says he put his head in between his thighs. You know what he was doing? He was reminding God, looking at the flesh and saying, God, there is a covenant between you and I. And as long as there is a covenant, rain is going to come. Yeah. And rain fell. Hallelujah. So this is what God wants us to understand. Like, hey, Paul is saying to us, even though it affected their bodies and not their hearts, for us, our circumcision is not of our flesh. It's of our hearts. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because there is no male, there is no female. So circumcision is to be made aside. Bible, God said, Christ said, I have come to make it perfect. He says, I've come to fulfill the law. What he did was that he came and stood in for male and women and female. So when we talk about circumcision, it's no longer circumcision is of the flesh, but it's circumcision of our hearts. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul, after 1,000 years after David, was trying to make us to understand that, look, this covenant still exists. We used to not to be part of it. But through Christ, it says that we are a part of it. Verse 12 says this. It says, in those days, we were living apart from Christ. Yes. If you go to Ephesians 2, it tells how we've all been lost, how we went our separate ways, how we were tossed to and fro by the wind of every doctrine. But it says here that in those days, we were living apart from Christ. It says you were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Verse 13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus. It says, now we've been brought through the blood of Jesus. What is he saying? It's saying that everyone who confesses Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior, for whatsoever Jesus did on the cross for us, Bible is saying that, look, that thing, that whatever he did on the cross, turns us to the covenant that God made with Abraham. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you come under the covenant that was already made for you. You come under agreement. You come into contract with God. He says that when you turn to Christ, you become related to God. It means that your prayers will be answered. It means that your dreams will be fulfilled. It means that your walk with God through faith will be completed. It means that, look, it does not matter what happens. You will hear God speak to you. And anything that stands against you because you're in covenant, Bible says that God will come against it in the name of Jesus. So if we are in a covenant relationship, we are in a better covenant than they used to have. Because for their covenant, it was a covenant that affected only the flesh. But our covenant is of the heart. Hallelujah. Our covenant is of the heart. Let's look back at the Israelites. For 40 years they were on the wilderness, going to the promised land. We all remember that they murmured against God. They spoke against their leadership. They were fed manna, but they would still get up and be angry. They were fed ravens and meat, but they still were not satisfied with it. There were times they said, why don't we go back to Egypt and eat our cucumbers and leeks and onions and garlic. And that was what they were calling for. Every time there was provision for them, the next day, they are mad. But even through that, God still continued with them based on the covenant he made with Abraham. Yes, them that were destructive and them that were against God and stood against the laws of Moses, and some of them were swallowed away. But yet, through that covenant, God walked with them even when they were not perfect. God walked with them through the covenant agreement. Because he says, my covenant will be established, not only for Abraham, but for the descendants that come after Abraham. Church, we are the descendants that have come after Abraham. And it is not because we are truthful. It is not because we are righteous. It is not because we have no sin. It is not because, look, we are perfect. It is not anything. But it is because we walk close to Christ. And when we get close to Christ, what happens is that, look, what Christ did for us becomes manifested in us. And we become a people of God. Hallelujah. We become a people of God. I remember a story in the book of Mark. This Syrophoenician woman who came to Christ and said, my daughter is vexed with a demon. There's a demon that is troubling my daughter so well. And Christ said, no. We can't give the children's bread to dogs. Because the woman was not in covenant. Even Jesus still in the law told the woman, that's Jesus, that no, you are not in covenant because the bread is supposed to be given to the children. But this woman cried out and said, no, I know that. But the crumbs are fall from the master's table. The children, the dogs even eat of it. And he said, yes, you've done well, woman. Go, your daughter is free. Even in the time of Jesus, Jesus understood the covenant and said that you don't qualify for it. But you see, after his death, you and I, after his death, you and I have become part of the covenant. The word covenant appears 13 times in Genesis 17. And the word, if you understand numbers according to Bible, 13 means rebellion. And how will God give this good covenant and talk about rebellion also? Because he knows that, yes, the covenant is given, but many of us will not take it. He knows the covenant has been given, but many of us will not walk by it. It is freely given to us to just walk in covenant, a relationship with him. But many of us will not do it. It happened to the children of Israel. They knew the covenant, but many of them turned away from it. But I've come to announce to you that, look, your covenant is sure. It's a covenant with a promise. It's a covenant that is bringing you a blessing. It's a covenant that is leading you to fulfill the purposes that God has for you. In Matthew 5 and 7, Jesus says this. He says, I've come to fulfill the law. We all understand that the law was such that, look, if you break one, you've broken all the other laws. 10 commandments, if you break one, thou shalt not kill. And you've defamed people who were maybe collecting steaks on the Sabbath day. They take you, stone you, and kill you. But the Bible also talked about, I shall not kill. So they were not able to fulfill it. The Bible, they call it like a schoolmaster. It's always on you. When you're wrong, you're wrong. And when you're wrong with one, you're wrong with all. And that's what was happening to them. But the Bible says that when Jesus came, the Bible says he fulfilled it. God will not give us a law that we cannot fulfill. So in Jesus, that law was fulfilled. Hallelujah. That law was fulfilled. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 and 29 says this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, when Christ fulfilled the law, what he did was that he expanded the covenant for us. He expanded the covenant to go from just the people of the Jewish tribe to come upon Gentiles. That's what it is. He enlarged the covenant. He made it bigger for us so that all of us can find ourselves as part of it. He says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That verse 29 says this, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Did you hear that? It says, if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. So if you are Abraham's seed through Christ, it says that everything that God said to Abraham concerning his promise, you are part of it. Not because of what you did, not because of what you can do. All you have to do is allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord and personal Savior. It says you are in covenant because that has been done for you. Church, Christ is for us, and Christ has done this for us. On going to the cross, he fulfilled it. He became the ultimate sacrifice for us. So none of us here needs to do any sacrifice. In the olden times, every year they sang. According to the size of the home, you bring an animal. Some people will bring a turtle dove because they maybe one person or two. If you're large like my family, because I come from a family of 10, then you have to bring a bull. You understand that? If you're coming from a family of 2, you just need a dove. If you're coming from 5, you need a sheep. So that was how it was apportioned. And everybody will bring it. But what it did was that it did only a covering. So every year they go to the house of God. Every home will take their sheep, their goat, their bull, whatever they have. And then the atonement is done for them. It did not take away their sin. Christ has become the ultimate sacrifice for us. On dying on the cross, Bible says he took away. Oh, it did not just whitewash our sins so that every year we have to go back and pay. No, we don't longer pay. There is no sacrifice we can make anymore that is better than the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. So you and I have a better covenant because Christ has paid for it one time and all we do is to receive it. See, the difficulty with most of us is just to receive what God is giving to us. Some Christians feel if I don't pray so much, I don't deserve to be a Christian. Some believe if I don't fast 90 days, 50 days. Because some of us want to break the record of Jesus. You understand that? He did 40 days and 40 nights. So some of us, we want to break Jesus' record. Some of us, I know, some of us are determined. There are determined Christians amongst us who want every time to break a record. So some of us were trying to break Jesus' record. He did his with a purpose. If you're going on a 90, it should be a purpose. You should be called into that fast. Hallelujah. I had a 3-day fast with a lady, with a sister, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It was on a purpose. And it was just brief. So if you're going on a 90 days, yes, bless your heart. God bless you. Remember me in your prayer. But it should be purposeful. You should have a purpose to go. Hallelujah. But Christ has redeemed us. So church, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to wear a white gown. You don't have to be saying amen to everything somebody asks you. How are you doing? Amen. Have you paid your tithe? Amen. You can't be holier than thou. Some of us walking in here, we did not want to even crash an ant. I was checking the way people were walking. Look, there is nothing you can do to be part of this covenant, but to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That's all Bible is saying. Look, our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't be righteous to come to Christ. Christ wants you the way you are. Stop trying to be righteous. Self-righteousness will not do anything to you. Bible says, look, in Hagar, we will fall. We will make mistakes. We're not expecting you to make deliberate mistakes, but when it happened to you, rise up, confess your sin, and walk into the covenant again. Don't stand outside. Don't wait for anyone. Just join in the covenant. Look, God is always having his arms open and welcoming us. Come in. It does not matter your state. It does not matter where you are. Just come in. There's a covenant relationship that Christ is built for you. He went on the cross for you. You did not die. He died and gave you the victory and says, come. Don't make it difficult receiving what Christ has for you. Don't make it easy. Don't make it difficult. Bible says this. Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. It says, if a man has committed a sin deserving death, Jesus Christ did not commit any sin. He did not deserve to die. But it was for him to fulfill the scripture that I'm reading. Because the Bible says, cursed is anyone that hangs on the tree. So he had to take all our curses, you and I, our curse, and go on the tree. But Deuteronomy talks about it. It says this, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance. For he who hanged is accursed of God. See, Christ went on the cross, because in the only time with the Jewish people, their method of killing or punishing you to death was stoning. That's how they did to Stephen. So all they do is they stone you to death. But you see, they could not kill Jesus because he had to fulfill this. So the Romans had to take him and hang him on the tree. They were not ashamed killing him, but they were in a hurry to bring him down. That same day, because they were following the Lord, they did not want their land to be cursed. But he was doing this for you and I. So they quickly pulled him down off the cross. Their normal method of execution is stoning, but they never stoned Jesus Christ. Because Jesus had to go to the cross and die for you and I. See, it was to fulfill this verse. It was to enlarge the covenant between you and me, what we call the New Testament. That was what he was supposed to fulfill for us. To give us a better covenant and a new covenant. To save you and I from our sins and to bring us into a covenant where that covenant is filled with benefits. This morning I want you to understand that, look, the covenant has already been made for you. It was made in the days of Abraham and it's walking through. And they've walked through it to you. Jesus walked in the covenant. David walked in the covenant. Joseph walked in the covenant. And if you and I confess Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, then one of the things we have to understand is that we have to get in covenant with him. Seriously, about everything and with everything that we have. You cannot covenant with your body and forget about your, and cannot covenant with your finances. I heard of a story of a man who bought a very nice house and told God, I'm giving this house, thank you for it, but I want you to occupy only the living room. The three bedrooms, please. It's my place. This is my game room, and this is my bedroom, and this is my theater. So you can be there. But God, you can have the living room. So he comes out to the living room and prays every morning and thanks God. And he'll be sleeping, and the devil will be beating him in his bed. And then he realized, man, maybe I need to dedicate my bedroom. So he dedicated his bedroom also. The enemy never came to his bedroom anymore. So the hall and his bedroom were very good. He sits in the theater and tries to read or do something. He finds himself in trouble. The enemy is there beating him again. And he says, okay, I'll give you this one also, God. If you want, you can take it. But as for my game room, no, that's where I do all my Xboxes and my every box he has. That's where it is. So that one, he was there Xboxing and doing a thing. And I tell you, he felt all these beatings and weakness. And finally, he decided, no, you can have everything. See, when you are in covenant with God, you don't covenant part of everything that you have. You covenant everything. Somebody say everything. Everything. You go in covenant with you. You go in covenant with your bed. You go in covenant with your... Look, it doesn't matter where, even if your TV is not paid for. Look, so covenant it with God. I know some of the things we have, maybe they are not paid for. You think, oh, it's not paid for. It's for rent a sender. So that one belongs. No. If it lives in your house, it is part of you. If you have a dog, covenant that dog with God. You have to pray and dedicate everything you have to God. And that is how covenant works. It's an agreement between two people. So I want to announce to somebody, look, if you want to live in this covenant with God, your purpose is, we talked about purposes too, to be like Christ. Work in the purposes of God to be like Christ. And let your purposes also be your vocation, whatever you do. But dedicate everything you have to God. And see what God will do with you. Because his covenant is a covenant with a promise. He wants his spirit to be with you. Look, it's not because you have to do anything. It's not because you have to go anywhere. You don't have to fast. You don't have to turn around 7 times by the beach. You don't have to roll. You don't have to put on white. You don't have to stop eating some of the things you even start. No, you can eat everything and still be in covenant. You know that? Because everything is sanctified. Except that if personally there are things you hate to eat, I'm not saying go eat them. But there is nothing that can stop you from this benefit because you did not do the covenant. God says, as for me, my covenant is with you. And he's asking us, you Abraham, you Mina, you Emmanuel, you Ray, you Isaac, you Joel, you, it's just you bring yourself in. And see what I will do with you. Today I invite you, wherever you are, bring your family to the covenant. Because some of us, our families are far from us. See, when one, Bible says when one is saved, the whole household is saved. It means your family, don't worry about your family not saved. If you are saved and you stand in the covenant, you bring everything under the covenant. And they also have a covenant relationship with God. And God will change that situation. I want to announce to you, his covenant is sure for you. Your prayers will be answered. You will see great things if you only come into covenant. Bring your business to God. Bring yourself to God. Bring your wife. Bring your children to God. Bring everything you have to God. And let's see what this covenant has for us. Bow down your heads, let's pray. And say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your finished work on Calvary. Thank you for your covenant that stands sure for me. I dedicate everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I will be into your hands. Everything that is in my home, I dedicate it unto you. We stand in covenant with you. I will say, Lord, take care of it. In the name of Jesus.